Hello, everybody. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson here at the NovaCare Complex as the intensity builds for Sunday Night Football, the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Great show for you today. We're going to hear from Jerome Kupplin, the newest Eagle safety. How's he fit in? Great story of his rookie season. And then we will give a little scouting report on an emerging star, Michael Kendricks. Chris, how are you today?
Doing wonderful. Yeah. Cannot wait for Sunday to come. It can't get here fast enough. The Eagles dominating at home this season, 6-1. Cowboys have been outstanding.
Unbelievable,
on the road,
isn't it?
So it's very awkward that you have those kinds of styles clashing together, but it's all going to come together.
Yeah, and the success of the Cowboys on the road leads many out there to believe that the Cowboys can come in here and win a football game on Sunday night. Eagles preparing for the very best of the Dallas Cowboys. And Chris, we're going to get to hear from the Dallas Cowboys in a moment. But first things first, on this busy Thursday, Bo Wolf gives us the Eagles 360 update presented by Sports Authority.
Well, it is a cold day in South Philadelphia. We have our first snow of the season, but that does not matter to Chip Kelly and the Eagles. They practice outside in the elements, and so do I give you this stand-up from the elements outside. No coat, no jacket, just a man bringing you the news here on Eagles 360. And let's get to that news. Chip Kelly, of course, preparing for the Dallas Cowboys, the second time these teams have played in 3 weeks. Chip Kelly says the defense knows that it's not just DeMarco Murray, it's not just Tony Romo. They have to be prepared to stop the entire Dallas offense.
We just go through, you know, kind of what they do, and it's not about one individual player, it's about the team and defending them. And I think if we put our sole focus and attention on Murray and Romo and not worry about Bryant and not worry about Witten and not worry about Williams and the other guys, and those guys are going to beat you because they are talented at other positions. So do we go back and look at the old film? Yeah, we've studied our Thanksgiving Day game just as we studied the Bears game.
Just like I want the microphone to give you the big news, Mark Sanchez wants the ball when the game is on the line. He told that to reporters on Thursday.
You know, you got to want the ball with, you know, a few seconds left on fourth down and trying to make a play, you know, with bottom of the ninth. You know, kids don't talk about, okay, this is, you know, throw me the pitch and it's 1-1 in the middle of the second inning. Nobody says that. You know, nobody practices that. Everybody says bottom of the ninth, full count, you know, there's two outs, bases loaded, that kind of thing. So that's when you want the ball in your hands. And I'm just, you know, blessed and excited about getting that opportunity to have it and make a good decision with it and go play.
Finally, Chip Kelly was asked about Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota, who was named a Heisman finalist earlier this week, fulfilling a prophecy predicted by Coach Kelly in Mariota's freshman season. Kelly says Mariota simply is the best player he coached in college.
I haven't got a chance to watch a full body of work from him, but anything he does numbers-wise and things like that don't surprise me, but I think it's how he handles himself, his demeanor, and all those things that really kind of set him apart. He's a special young man from that standpoint.
That'll do it for your 360 update presented by Sports Authority. No more press conferences this week. We will hear from Chip Kelly after the game on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. That'll do it. I'm going inside.
Thank you very much, Bo. Chris, you had a chance to go behind enemy lines with Brad Chan. He's not Merrill Reese, but the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Not a bad job.
He's okay, but who is Merrill Reese? Come on now. Brad Sham, the second longest tenured play-by-play voice in the National Football League, will take us behind enemy lines. He's going to explain what the difference will be with a healthy Tony Romo going into this matchup. That's coming up next on Eagles 360.
The moment we dare to imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
up to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli. Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill. Regional Rail.
I step to Philly. The Broad Street line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
It's time to go behind enemy lines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson, and we're bringing in the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham. Brad, how important was it for Dallas to get the win last Thursday against Chicago to kind of get the emotions back in the right direction as they try to reel
it's
things
critical.
In their direction?
You know, I don't know how good they are, but they have played well enough, Chris, during the year to put themselves in a position to have bigger conversations than they thought. But you can't let them get away from you. They may have already had one or two of those this year, and then they played so poorly on Thanksgiving that they had to, at the very least, they had to play well. They had to remind themselves that they were capable of playing well, and it really doesn't matter, and I think the Eagles would tell you the same thing. If you're in a circumstance like that, it really doesn't matter if you beat up on a bad team or a team that's playing poorly. You have to do it. And so for them, I think it was critical.
Brett, how do you think that they'll try to contain Mark Sanchez, who is not only good throwing the ball, but running the ball with his own read?
That, to me, is one of the most impressive things about what Sanchez is doing. The way he's running the zone read, and Merrill Reese told me before the game, when Merrill says something like this, I think you have to pay attention. He said, in all the years I've been doing this, this guy is the best ball-handling quarterback the Eagles have ever had. And you can certainly see it, and everything else becomes more effective. I mean, it's not just for show. That's a weapon. Now, you know, I'm not saying that he's Robert Griffin or Kaepernick or Randall Cunningham or anybody as a pure runner, but he's good enough that the threat is real, and he is so good at executing it. And then when you have people like he has to give it to, it really puts a defense in a very difficult position. So you got to set the edge. You have to play really assignment sound, and the assignments will include some way to kind of keep track of where the quarterback is in the zone read. And it's the only chance you have. You have to play really assignment sound, sharp mental football, and physically deny the exterior and try to funnel everything back inside where your linebackers can run to get that done. I don't know if Dallas is physically capable of doing that, but it's the only chance you have, in my opinion.
Brad, you mentioned Merrill Reese. You two are two of the longest tenured play-by-play voices in the business.
The two longest.
So what are some of your favorite memories? What is Eagles Week like for you, since we get to hear each and every week, each and every Dallas week, what Merrill thinks of the rivalry? What is Eagles Week like for you, Brad?
Well, most of the time that I've been doing this, the Eagles have been really good. And when they're not really good, the years that they've been great, they've been so dominant that you forget about the other ones. I mean, you know, there are games that I remember Greg Ellis chasing Donovan McNabb around Texas Stadium for like 12 seconds and Donovan saving the play and throwing a ball deep down the field. I remember a game at Lincoln Financial that the Cowboys won on an interception by Roy Williams, the safety, when the Eagles had outplayed them from the beginning to that very moment. I have no idea how they were in the game. You know, I remember, I think of, you know, Jerome Brown, and I think of Reggie, and I think of those great defenses. And I remember Michael Irvin telling me in the 90s that the Eagles were the one team that he was afraid of. I've been doing this long enough now. I'm perfectly familiar with how hated the Cowboys are around the country, And in places like Philadelphia and, well, all the division cities, you know, they love to show it. I don't know anyone who shows the hatred any better than the Eagles fans. So that rivalry goes, it literally goes back 50 years. And the rivalry is enhanced by the fact that frequently, not always, but frequently, the teams have been either good at the same time or good enough at the same time to really impact one another's seasons.
I couldn't agree more. Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Hi, my name is Rhonda. I've worked for Acme Markets for 30 years. Here at Acme, community means everything to us. Prices have never been better.
Going up and down the aisles, I do get a lot of compliments when the lower prices.
Your store looks great. I love the people. I love the shop here.
I just think people are definitely seeing a change and seeing that it's getting better with Acme. And it's not just the prices. It's the customers that are coming in here talking it up. Come on in. Check us out.
We're back.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win, you win.
Score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win, you win.
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Sports Authority is proud to be the official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro here, Chris McPherson, Bo Wolf, Fran Duffy over there, and they're talking NFC East.
Hello, Eagles fans. It's time once again for Bob's Discount Furniture presents Around the NFC East. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Bo Wolf and Fran Duffy, and I really liked last week's segment, which was titled, aptly by Bo, Atop the NFC East. And the Eagles are still kind of atop the NFC East, just they're in a tie now. It's not all by themselves, but Sunday night, obviously.
It's like you're sharing the seat, but the Eagles have the armrest.
They do. I will agree with that. It's a good way to put it. So, first place on the line, both the Eagles and Cowboys, 9-4. Basically, this will determine who wins the division. How much are you guys looking forward to this showdown? The rematch from the Thanksgiving humbling.
Well, if the Eagles win, they will win the division. If the Cowboys win, the Eagles could still win the division.
Yes.
If they win out and the Cowboys lose to Indianapolis or somebody else, because they'll still have the division tiebreaker.
Yes.
But let's not make it that complicated.
That's correct.
Let's beat the Cowboys this week and end it for all.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second game in 3 weeks, and it's rare that that's happened in Eagles-Cowboys history, really, any rivalry with any of the NFC's opponents.
It's
so,
stupid scheduling is what it is.
Well, but. You know, it's happened. It's actually interesting. It's happened across the league with a lot of these division teams. But look, it's gonna be a great game. Obviously, a lot of those things we talked about a couple weeks ago still stand, the battles in the trenches and, you know, Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray and Tony Romo's back and, you know, all those same storylines, you know. Just cut and paste.
How does the Cowboys offensive line handle the vaunted Eagles defensive line?
Right, exactly. That's after the game that the guys up front had this past week against Seattle, obviously, look, this is the way that this unit's been playing for the majority of the season, and it's good to see them show up on a national stage 2 weeks ago against Dallas, last week against Seattle, and they'll get another chance on Sunday night.
Now, when you mentioned Tony Romo is back, did you mean that Tony Romo is back or his actual back?
His actual back.
Gotcha.
His actual back. His back is back.
That's the one thing I'm waiting to see is how will the rest
impact him, because he certainly wasn't himself in that Thanksgiving Day game. And the one matchup, you know, we talked about DeMarco Murray going against the Eagles defensive line. I really still think it's going to come down to Dez Bryant and the receivers and the secondary. And if Tony Romo's healthier and he's able to make some moves in the pocket, certainly that could open up things there for the wide receivers.
I think you're right. I think I have more confidence that of the two of defending the run versus defending the pass, I have more confidence that the Eagles will still be able to shut out DeMarco Murray, even though he is the league's leading rusher and had a great game last week against Chicago. I feel like that matchup really actually favors the Eagles because of how well they've defended the run this season. They did it against Marshawn Lynch last week. I do feel like the Cowboys may have some more opportunities in the passing game if Tony Romo isn't feeling quite so feeble on Sunday night and can maybe get the ball downfield to Dez Bryant.
Well, I mean, keep this in mind, too, is that Tony Romo, when we played them on Thanksgiving, he was 2 weeks removed from a bye week. He was 1 week removed from a game against the Giants where they kept him completely protected. I mean, the offensive front for Dallas kept him clean for the majority of the game against the Giants. So coming into that Thanksgiving game, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he was healthy. So it's going to be a factor of, you know, can the defensive front get to him early, get him on his back, and, you know, make him start thinking about going down a little bit earlier than he maybe should, which we saw multiple times in that game on Thanksgiving. And I agree. I mean, look, The Eagles' defense against DeMarco Murray in that run game, they showed what they can do early on, especially on Thanksgiving. Chicago last week, look, that Chicago defense is struggling right now. They have been for the past couple of years.
Where would you start on that defense? What position would you start?
Where would Fran Duffy actually start, would he draft?
Yeah, where would I? I mean, I would probably start at safety, but no, I mean, look, they need help at every level. I mean, they've had some injuries too, and that hasn't helped.
For safety, sideline to sideline.
I mean, I don't know if you watched Chris Conte, but
right.
No, I mean, that's the issue, is that, you know, they need help at every level. But back to Dallas, I mean, look, they, you know, it's tough to kind of gauge. Everyone said, like, oh, you know, the run game's back. That defense is not terribly impressive, so they were able to kind of have their way.
Lincoln Patchfield will be rocking Sunday night. The Cowboys have not lost on the road all season. The Eagles were just handed their first loss at home in 2014 by the Seattle Seahawks. All right, now let's look to the other teams at division. Washington, they are now 3-10 after losing 24-0 to the Rams. I think everyone enjoyed the troll move by Jeff Fisher, sending out all the players acquired in the RG3 trade out for the pregame coin toss. But in terms of their season, they don't know where the quarterback is. Everything seems lost for him at this point.
They make this joke on Twitter, whoever is writing the script for the Washington team every season, it's impressive that they are always able to come up with new material for twists and turns in the front office. It's awesome.
Yeah, and the quarterback issue, the issues on defense, you know, all the issues that are going on behind the scenes, there's all kinds of problems right
it's
now
drama.
In Washington. It's a lot of drama. It's a lot of drama.
RG3 so. Punting to himself after practice and retrieving the ball. It's all good stuff. I love it.
Yeah, I really wish it was playing on TV. Not just every Sunday, but actual network television. So last but not least, the Giants. They are 4-9 after taking the Titans to the woodshed by a 36-7 margin. They are 4-9 on the season. So that's going to do it for this edition of Bob's Discount Furniture Presents Around the NFC East. For Fran Duffy and Bo Wolf, I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks very much, fellas. The NFC East, it's all about the division this point forward in the regular season. When we return to Eagles 360, the newest Eagle, safety Jerome Copeland, the third, visits our studio. We'll find out a little bit about what makes him tick and how he fits in to the Eagles' plans.
All season long, stop into your local Acme Markets and purchase the Eagles item of the week. When you do, you will receive a receipt code making you eligible for the Swoop In and Win sweepstakes. Just go to swoopinandwin.com and enter the code today. It's your chance to win Eagles tickets, Eagles Pro Shop and Acme gift cards, and Eagles autograph merchandise. Acme Markets, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
You step to Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I step to Philly.
The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall.
FTC.
Delco.
Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I step to Philly.
Anywhere.
Hey, Eagles fans!
When the Eagles win,
you win!
score a free Dunkin' Donuts medium hot or iced coffee the day after an Eagles win with the Dunkin' mobile app.
Eagles win?
You win!
Go Eagles!
America runs on Dunkin'.
Dunkin' Donuts is helping more area youth get in the game through the Touchdowns for Kids program. For every Philadelphia Eagles touchdown, Dunkin' Donuts will donate $250 to Good Sports, bringing new equipment and resources to youth sports organizations in need throughout the greater Philadelphia region.
Well, you think it's easy being in the NFL? It is not. We welcome you to the studio, Dave Spadaro, joined by the newest Eagle, Jerome Kupplin III, who was promoted by the Eagles to the 53-man roster off the Detroit Lions practice squad. And welcome to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
But the story with you is it's going to be what you do from this point on. But I want to talk about what you've done to this point since signing with the Lions as an undrafted rookie. What a rookie season. Detroit?
Yep.
Buffalo?
Yep.
Back to Detroit and to Philadelphia?
Yes, sir.
So do you have more than, I mean, how big is your travel bag at this point? Is it this big, this big, this big?
I actually bought a teammate's travel bag this time, so I plan to be here a little longer than you know, last time.
It's crazy, though. You really learn about the business of the NFL. It's not, you're not here for long.
Nah, definitely. You know, you can jump, move, and it's a lot of times it's things you can't even control, you know, things you have no power of, and you know, I'm just a young guy learning that early.
It's great. It's a great experience, and you've done a great job first making it to the NFL from William & Mary. It's a big jump. What was the key for you being impressive in the summer to the Detroit Lions?
Just showing my progression every day. Just showing them, you know, I'm working hard, you know, become the best player I can be, grasping the scheme, you know, and trying to make plays as best I can.
What was it like going from the end of your college football career through, you know, the draft process? I know that you had some really impressive numbers at pro days. I guess every minute you're trying to just catch somebody's eye, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a grind. Chip Smith, the guy who I worked out with down in Duluth, Georgia, he told me, you know, from this point to the end of your rookie year, you know, it's going to be a constant grind. You know, you're not going to never really have that time to, you know, take a break because you're either, you know, you're working out or you're going on visits or, you know, you're working out for somebody. And then, you know, you have the draft process, and that pretty much goes right into rookie minicamp, which goes right into OTAs, which, you know, then you get a little small window in the summer, but, you know, you're still trying to work out, you know, to stay in shape. So, and then you have camp, you know, which is a grind. You have the season, which is, you know, a lot longer than the college season, of course, you know, which my school is done right now.
Yeah.
So usually, you know, I'm done around this time, but, you know, it's definitely a learning experience, you know, from start to finish, you know, and it's just going to help me, you know, later on.
Do you have a sense of how different things are run day to day from Detroit to Buffalo and even day one in Philadelphia?
Yeah, definitely. Day is ran by how they play. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is quick. Everything is from boom, 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 boom. You know, Detroit was kind of like that, but, you know, there are differences, you know, being different places. But, you know, I can definitely see, you know.
Oh, so you think it's faster?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You see it's faster?
I mean, come on now. You watch them playing games.
Oh, hey, I'm with you, man. I mean, we see Chip Kelly. He moves boom, 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 boom. He's all over the place. You got to catch up to that pace. How do you feel like the next 3 weeks into the playoffs, you know, what kind of goals do you have?
My goal is just, you know, to come in and help, you know, whatever way I may be, whether that's being contributing on defense, you know, whether that's being on all the special teams, you know, learning whatever they need me to learn as fast as I can so that I can, you know, be the best player I can be on the field. Because until I learn it, you know, I can't really show, you know, what I can do because then, you know, the more you think, you know, the slower you react, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, just, you know, getting myself to where they need me to be so that I can contribute. And whatever may that be, that might be this game, that might be in 2 weeks, that might be in the 19th playoffs, you know, I don't know. But, you know, just come with a clear mind, you know, and just see what happens.
Jerome, how different was the game initially, the tempo of the game from William & Mary to, you know, NFL training camp and then NFL regular season?
I mean, honestly, being at William & Mary, we played pretty much every game, no huddle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, teams who played against us, you know, a lot of time were more huddle. So I was used to that, you know, going to, you know, the Lions, you know, being a huddle team again. You know, that was something I had to get used to doing again. Of course, you know, just practice to, you know, preseason to game, you know, there are different levels. You know, the speed is different, faster. But, you know, one thing, you know, that the vets did, that the Lions told me, you know, is, you know, you don't want to notice the big difference in the speed mentally, not physically. You know, that's going to be the big jump, you know, and the faster you can catch on mentally, you know, the faster physically will show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that definitely was the big difference, you know, because they got all these teams who are making these check calls real quick, and you know you gotta make your check call real quick. You know, a play might change, you know, real quick because of emotion or a shift. You know, so that stuff, you know, is a little more done in the league than it is in college. You know, my college blessed me with, you know, doing multiple things, so that does help me a lot. But at the same time, you know, the NFL is NFL.
For Eagles fans who don't know much about your game, describe what they can expect to see over the rest of the season, throughout the offseason, next year, and years to come.
And a guy that's going to hustle, going to make tackles. You know, you might see a couple big hits here and there. A guy who's going to play the ball and, you know, just do the best I can to, you know, help us win.
6'2", 215?
Roughly, yeah.
Did anybody ever talk about playing linebacker the way the size is these days in the NFL?
No. The funny thing is, in college, you know, they kind of threatened it. When I first got to college, you know, they might move me, you know, and I worked on my games, you know, allowed them to keep me at that size, but at the same time, allowed me to still play at safety. I actually wasn't this big in college. Towards my latter years, my junior, senior year I was, but, you know, come out of high school, I was 6'1", 183, so okay. A lot more skinnier.
Well, hey, man, welcome.
Thank you.
Jerome Kupplin III in Philadelphia. We thank you for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Section 512, row 6, seats 7 through 10. Those are our seats.
At this one time we can't be there, please treat them right.
To get there early, stay late, and yell a whole lot.
Dress warm, gloves, hats, warm boots.
Eric sits in the middle. Uncle Paul sits on the aisle.
And if you want to sit in my seat, make sure you get your ticket from the only place a fan can trust.
Buy and sell 100% verified authentic tickets with other true fans. Only on NFL Ticket Exchange. Tickets from one fan to another.
Imagine is the moment progress begins. In a flash, the inconceivable becomes everyday. Imagine someone doing the same for healthcare. At Jefferson, we've brought together some of the brightest minds in medicine, in research and innovation, resulting in advancements that will touch lives in amazing ways. You might not see how a health sciences university, an academic medical center, and spectacular collisions of imagination can change your future, but you will.
Rico and the Philadelphia Eagles are giving you the chance to win a VIP party for your office for up to 50 people at the NovaCare Complex. Enter today at PhiladelphiaEagles.com/RicoOfficeParty. Sweepstakes open to residents of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Rico, the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome you back to Eagles 360. And Chris, a couple of emerging players in this Eagles defense. I think everybody recognizes that Fletcher Cox has become a Pro Bowl caliber player. Michael Kendricks also continuing his development in year number 3.
Yes, he is. Kendricks has raised his game since D'Amico Ryans went on the injured reserve list with that torn Achilles. He had 9 tackles, including a tackle for loss in that first game against Dallas as the Eagles were able to corral DeMarco Murray. And our Eagles game plan crew give us a progress report of just how good Kendricks has been this season.
All right, Mike, we know how outstanding this defense has played so far this year, and particularly that front 7 has played fantastic. But the linebackers, mainly Michael Kendrick, is starting to pick up his play as we come down the stretch. Let's watch him in this Seattle game. He was used in multiple ways. You watch him here in the pass. He's the guy that's going to be what we call the rat in the hole, which basically means he's helping out all of his defenders on their inside route. So they can play their man on the outside. He's protecting them inside.
He's such an outstanding talent, and they're really starting to utilize, or they have been utilizing, all of his skills. And his ability to mirror a quarterback with the athleticism of Russell Wilson, you got to applaud that. They put him in the hole, as you said, but his responsibility is to help out on the short routes and then to make sure that this guy, Russell Wilson, doesn't get down the field on him.
Yeah, nice job here. You know, he and Connor Barwin working together, Barwin is really the spy here.
Yes.
But he really does need the help of Michael Kendricks and his speed to get to the outside to prevent Russell Wilson from picking up this first down that would have extended the drive. You watch Michael Kendricks here. He just has a nice feel for playing this position. He never seems to be in a rush. He's never blocked out of position. You watch him versus the run here. He's going to read this counteraction coming back from the tight end. And then I like how – now, most linebacker coaches tell you he should take this block on with his hands.
Yeah.
But he does a nice job of doing what we call, he slips the block, gets underneath him, and he makes this tackle on a guy that's not very easy to bring down one-on-one.
Well, I think you're talking about the growth of Michael Kendricks because he wasn't always this savvy as a linebacker. Here he just slides to the inside just a little bit, puts the hat on him. But you're watching this guy just grow right in front of you week by week, year by year. He's becoming one of the better linebackers playing.
And the thing I love the most watching him this year is that he's a much more effective player when he gets to play downhill.
Yes.
Don't make him think too much. Allow his natural athletic ability to just take over. You watch him here versus this read option. Trent Cole's responsibility is to take the dive, Marshawn Lynch. If Russell Wilson gives that ball to Marshawn, Trent Cole's going to make the tackle. Michael Kendricks' responsibility is to scrape outside, and if Russell Wilson keeps this ball, he's going to tackle him on the outside. Here's what I like about this play, Mike, is that he doesn't get greedy. He knows what his run responsibility is. He goes right to it, and it forces a negative play on Seattle.
And I like the call by Billy Davis. Oftentimes, it's that outside guy on the line of scrimmage responsible for Russell Wilson keeping the ball. But this time, you mix it up a little bit. You send Cole inside, and Kendricks is the guy coming out responsible for Russell Wilson if he keeps the ball.
Yeah, very good game plan from Bill Davis this week versus Seattle. Again, you're going to see Michael Kendricks in sort of this half spy, half I'm in coverage. Now, I guess his responsibility on this play is to eye Russell Wilson, make sure he doesn't go anywhere. You got man coverage on the back end. Now, Michael Kendricks, the key for him on this play is that he has to allow these pass rushing stunts up front to develop, and then he's going to find a hole. And then watch the acceleration from the time he says, I'm going after Russell Wilson, to how quickly he gets there. It's the acceleration that he brings that makes him so dynamic.
Man coverage on the back end, as you said, and as soon as the protection shows itself, he knows exactly what he can do. And you're right, the speed getting through and getting to Russell Wilson, most impressive. And
this is all about feel. He's not going too early. He knows he has a nice little pass rush in front of him.
Yep.
He needs the offensive line to figure out which way they're going to protect this thing. And then he finds a hole and he shoots it.
Not many people can catch Russell Wilson when he's trying to spin and go out the back door. But Michael Kendricks has the ability to do that.
Had he not missed four or five games earlier in the year, Michael Kendricks could possibly be on his way to his first Pro Bowl. Still may get there. Never too late.
Thank you very much, Mike and Ike. We look forward to seeing how the Eagles defense plays against the Cowboys, who should bring their very best to the table on Sunday night. Now we want to give you a little tease of what's ahead on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Today, we've got the following in the format of text features. I'm going to write a little bit about, and I've written about, the defense looking to repeat after that great performance on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. The eagle eye in the sky defending Dez Bryant. Not easy. How did the Eagles do it back a couple of weeks ago? And then LeSean McCoy ready to shine prime time on Sunday night.
Six straight games of 100 yards rushing or more in Sunday night games for
McCoy.
That
is impressive. The video side, Chip Kelly's press conference, the game plan, diversity is the key to the Dallas Cowboys offense, and defensive tackle, nose tackle, Benny Logan joins the Eagles Insider Podcast. Tomorrow, Wolf takes his irreverent look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Our fantasy spin weekly report as the playoffs arrive for those who play fantasy football. And on our digital nest, the top social media posts from the week. On the video side, crunch time with running back Chris Polk. In studio, Jason Kelce, healthy and playing very well at the center position. And Eagles 360's Gatorade week in review. So we got a lot to get to here the rest of the week. It's closing in on Sunday night, and we will carry it forth all the way through, right up to and through kickoff to the very end of the game. And Chris, I mean, this isn't the game that determines the NFC East, but you get the sense that the winner is going to be the team that emerges.
Yes, indeed. The Eagles, look, they're in the driver's seat. Obviously, if they win on Sunday, they'll hold a tiebreaker and a one-game lead over the Cowboys, and the road to the playoffs will be much easier for Dallas, if they win, they still have to play Indianapolis, a tough schedule ahead for them, but nonetheless, they would be in the driver's seat. So the Eagles just want to make things a little easier, and you don't want the fans to be in panic mode with two straight losses, something they haven't done since 2013. So certainly the Eagles need to just take care of business on Sunday night.
Just win, baby. And that's the order from the 360 guys. For Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. We thank you for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.